something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's our 25th episode spectacular.
We pick another bot of the week.
And we let you define Canadianity for a TNT t-shirt. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Let me ask you this right quick, you know what I mean?
Jonathan Torrens, it's Jeremy Taggart here.
Jeremy Taggart, can you believe it, bot? 24 episodes ago, if I had said it's going to be our 25th anniversary someday, you wouldn't have thought it possible, would you?
I would have said to myself, no way. This isn't possible.
And yet, here we are.
Yeah.
25 episodes in.
I was thinking that, you know, something probably would have happened. One of us would have been illed or perhaps decided the other person wasn't their type of person anymore and moved on. But here we are, still friends just like we started.
Still friends. Dare I say, even better friends than when we started. I've enjoyed this journey. It's been really fun getting to know you. And really, if I'm being honest, also exciting is the fact that two things are happening. One, the spelling of the word bot, B-A-H-D, is taking over the world.
Yeah.
And I think you know the second thing.
We are seeing bods and Canadianities.
Canadianity as a movement is taking over. It's great.
Yes. And in our secluded world of Canadianity, we're seeing it growing abundantly, and it's actually starting to it's starting to fester, which is beautiful.
So we wanted to do something for our 25th anniversary, something that was special, something as our small way of saying thank you in typical Canadian fashion. Thank you for listening. Thanks for making the leap to iTunes with us. Thanks for checking us out on iTunes. If you're a new listener, welcome. So we got some t-shirts made. And on the front, they say, at Taggart and Torrens. And on the back, they say, hashtag Canadianity bot.
That is so fantastic.
What's more Canadian than talking about the budget for our t-shirts? We got 12 t-shirts made right off the top.
Let's talk about it. Let's break this right down. 12 off the top.
We want to get some to the people. So we have a dozen, but right off the top, you and I get one. That's 10.
Yeah.
I think Tim from the rock band The Arkells, who's been working for free for over a year to cobble this mishmash together, deserves a t-shirt.
Yep. That makes 9.
So we're down to 9.
Yep.
I was thinking in the spirit of NAFTA, we should send a couple down to Jay and Dan because they've been huge supporters of our podcast from the
Absolutely.
Jay and Dan podcast and Fox Sports one. So that, I mean, if we have one long enough for Jay, he's 6'5".
Well, it would be even funnier if it looks like a belly top on him.
Yeah, it really would.
He might wear it more in Venice.
So we're down to 7.
That's...
Couple away this week, right?
Yes, I would say we got to give it. So that would leave us with 3.
Well, it would leave us with 5.
Oh, okay.
If we gave away 2 this week, that would leave us with 5.
Sorry.
And then maybe the next 5 weeks, the bot of the week gets a t-shirt.
The bot of the week definitely should deserve a shirt starting in the next ones, but we would be not including the 2 this week then.
Correct.
Because there are 2 bots of the week this week.
There are, and I like the plural as bods of the week instead of bod of the weeks. So we asked people as a way to determine who should get the t-shirts, we asked people to define Canadianity. And it's so broad, yet to people, so specific. People have a very specific idea of what Canadianity means. And that's kind of one of the great things about it. It is open to interpretation, and it obviously speaks to people because people got really micro on the definition. Some were broad, like snow, and others were really micro, like paying at the drive-through at Tim Hortons for the guy behind you.
Yes.
And the nice thing about an answer like that is it's not only Canadianity in that it's Tim Hortons, but it has a nice sentiment behind
too.
And that's very Canadian.
We did see a lot of sentiment, like people just said, sorry. That was, some other people just said, nice, being nice. And there was all kinds of ones that had to do with I guess doing your friend a favor, or trying to help people around you. That was
shoveling your elderly neighbor's walk. I saw one that was like a combo platter, like, sorry, bud, they didn't have any Canadian maple, so I got you a box of Timbits.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one, because yes, it's multi-layered. There was another one that was when your beer league goalie bursts into the dressing room 5 minutes before you take the ice.
That's great.
That's a great sentiment.
Very, very good.
So our trouble was, how do you pick one or two? Because they're all valid and they're all true, and there is no actual definition of Canadianity. It's a word we made up.
I think yes, the we should maybe be Canadian about our answer.
Right. What more Canadian way to find a winner than to put all the names in a toque, bud?
And that is Canadianity at its best. What kind of toque, bud?
Well, it's a Prince Edward Island toque. I don't know if you've seen the folks wearing the sweatshirts, the East Coast Lifestyle sweatshirts. They got into, it's a guy named Alex. He was a college student, and he started this company as a like college project, and now he's a Congooglionaire. And he got into making hats from various provinces. So I have a Prince Edward Island hat.
And it's a beauty.
It's a beauty. I sent you a picture of it.
Yes.
Now, as far as the process goes, we don't have an accounting firm. We don't even have a PA. Like, we don't even have someone to type all the names and cut them neatly.
No.
I wrote them by hand, and I'm drawing them myself.
And this is bringing us, kind of giving us a Sunday afternoon feeling, perhaps not unlike at a bingo parlor, which is very,
no, it's true,
very Canadianity. Remember the old days when you'd see the grandmas and the aunts smoking the darts at the bingo?
Oh, yeah.
Just hacking,
not even that old.
Hacking dart after dart after dart, playing bingo. Yet they don't drink or anything, but they're hacking butts.
Remember when, yeah, and by the way, like, how about eight cards going with multiple daubers and a dart in their mouth?
Yeah.
Like, that skill.
Yes.
Remember when row 9 on a plane was non-smoking, but row 10 was smoking? Do you remember that?
I actually remember, yes, on being on a couple planes where it's just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, there were some European flights that I was on early in the OLP days where, yeah, it was basically that, half the plane, the other half just sufferers.
Well, until just recently, if you were a pilot and you were on the Browns, you could crush them in the cockpit on international flights because they'd rather you hack and darts than be jumpy.
Oh, man. So you know.
I don't think it was that long ago that they stopped. All right. Back to the, if you can hear the paper shufflery.
Yeah, I can hear the hat getting juggled around.
I'm digging deep. The winner of our first at Taggerton Torrens Canadianity Bot black t-shirt with white text is Jeff Brown.
Oh, nice.
Congratulations, Jeff Brown. Maybe we'll follow Jeff Brown and he can let us know if he's like a large guy or an extra large guy.
It could be Jeff Brown, who might be my neighbor, which would be, make this really easy.
That would be so Canadian. Walk it over to him, bot. Let's read a few more of the responses. Do you want to?
Yes, let's read some more.
You read some while I'm digging deep for the next name.
I cannot read any right now. Would you like me to go up and find them? I do not have them in front of my face, Jonathan.
Hang on, I'll get them right now.
If you want to get them.
Terry Fox, eh? There's a good one.
There's a great
one. This one from Thomas Swiderski. Back bacon, bag of ketchup chips, moose head beer, beaver tail for dessert. Canadianity. Good one. Brian said Nickelback. John Candy.
John.
Cold out there, eh? At least there's no mosquitoes. Don Carpenter.
That's a good one.
Good one.
Nice.
Supplying the best hockey players in the world, John Candy. And blocking out the haters, it's Scott Gillette.
Nice.
As Canadian as possible, given the circumstances. Someone said that.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, too. Overkindly and persistently battling one another for supreme niceness. Sorry, no, you take it. That's from Ashley Chrysler. Bringing sleds to school for the kids at pickup time. Stephanie B., that's pretty Canadian.
Nice.
Michael McDermott, a bunch of beauties getting her done in the Great White North, eh, bot?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
How about like those are very very Canadian. How about like a story that has Canadianity in it? Like one time I was in White Rock, BC. That's a good Canadian place if it doesn't get any more Canadianity.
Is this a true story?
This is a true story.
Awesome.
I took some mushrooms and with a guy.
As you do.
As you do when you're in White Rock in the summertime. And this was 10 years ago or so. And I went in the bar and it was just kind of a bro down place. Like totally like guys that were just looking to get banged up, which is Canadian in a sense.
Sure.
Too. And then we got out of there just because it just started to feel too rough and scary. And all of a sudden we saw like all these guys like go down the pier. And then all of a sudden, they started fighting like it was just part of the deal. So we're just seeing these guys like gangs in New York style.
Feeding each other.
Just beating the shit out of each other while we're crushed on mushrooms. And it was just like, so you could almost like feel the punches when you're watching it. And you're just, the senseless violence was not doing anything for us. But that was like the dark side of Canadianity.
It does happen, though. And
yes.
I remember sometimes, like, when you'd go out to the bars in Charlottetown, and not to single out Charlottetown, because this happens at other places. But I remember one night standing outside a pizza shop, and there was a bagpiper playing as the guys were fighting in the middle of the circle.
Oh, my God. That's
like, hard. And there were guys, like, walking around the perimeter of the circle going, "Do you want to go, Donnie? Do you want to go, Trev?"
Oh my God.
Like pairing off, like, "All right, we'll go next then, bud." And then, gearing up to see who's going to throw down after this fight was resolved. Like a code of honor, you know, among thugs.
Like a fight club, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because everybody's...
Like, no hard feelings, bud.
Yeah.
If you rip home.
Everybody's fine.
I kind of like that. I think if I had to distill down the most Canadian I've ever felt in my life... It was on top of a mountain in Holman, Northwest Territories.
Wow.
Drunk on whiskey with Rick Mercer.
Yeah, that's...
And we saw a muskox. That's about as Canadian as it gets.
Did he accept? He's like, "Yeah, that's pretty, this is pretty Canadian." Did you acknowledge it in a sense?
If you put yourself in his shoes... Being up there with me, like, it's not as Canadian.
Being, like,
well,
it is, though.
John Cherry.
It is, though. It's so Canadian because of Street Sense and Jonavision, and you,
I don't know,
you equal
that.
The experience for him. It's like, it's more like, no matter what, like, almost like if you woke up on a couch and we were living with Maestro, like, in the house. It's still equally Canadian.
Under what circumstances would that happen?
Like a
hey, scooch over, Maestro, pass the remote, bye.
Like sharing an apartment. No, like both of us. That his experience in life changes, mine changes, and all of a sudden we're in like an apartment, just trying to keep it together, bye.
Well, I know another very Canadian experience I had. I might have even talked about it on the show, working as a writer on the Juno Awards.
Yeah.
And it was the year that Bruce Colburn was inducted into the Juno Hall of Fame. And he was inducted by Dr. David Suzuki and Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, man.
And I helped write the copy for both of those guys. So standing on stage with Suzuki and Lightfoot talking about Bruce Colburn.
Wow.
That's pretty Canadian.
That's very Canadian.
What are some of the Canadian music festivals like where the bill is just like Canadarama that you've played on?
Well, I mean, the summer festivals were always very Canadian based, especially some. I remember playing a bill with Loverboy. That's pretty Canadian.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a difference in tone between being backstage at a Canadian music festival and backstage at an American one?
Yes. People talk. And there's less segregation. The more,
really?
I guess the bigger the festival gets, the more security and subdivision happens.
Right.
I think I don't know if that has to do with just success or just the way, I guess if the other person's doing it, they just start doing it anyway. But it goes from being able to hang out on stage to you can't go up on stage, you know. So,
is there one Canadian festival in particular that you look forward to every year because it was just a riot?
Well, the ones in Alberta are always crazy. Like the Stampede is always nuts. And
is it?
I remember the concert on the hill in Halifax. That was always fun when it happened. Anytime there's a July 1st celebration, you know, you could be in St. John's or Vancouver. You just have a sense of the people getting together and the sense of community. It makes it better for sure. The old Molson Park. I love Park,
that concert on the hill was a big deal.
The old Molson Park days in Barrie. That place was amazing for summer festivals.
Was that called Edge Fest?
Well, there was Edge Fest there, but they originally would have like July the 1st Much Music concerts there back in the 80s. Remember that?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, they would always go to Molson Park. And it was a great venue because it was sloped properly and it was like a natural slight amphitheater for people to watch. But now it's a bunch of houses there, JT.
Were Canadian fans generally polite and well-mannered? Like, is there a difference in a Canadian audience?
Not necessarily. On Canada Day, clearly, yes. But not really. In North America has a feeling. Once you start getting down to Florida, you start feeling like, yeah, this is different. There's just a little more aggression in the pit.
It's the Daytona crowd.
Yeah, definitely. So, depends.
I worked on the Canada Day special on Parliament Hill a few years for CBC as a driver and as a writer and as a whatever they'd have me.
Yeah.
And that's pretty moving to see, is it a million Canadians that arrive in Parliament Hill? Like, it's pretty wild.
Crazy.
Because unless something like the Olympics is happening or the World Juniors is something that we kind of rally behind, we're not the most vocal patriots. I know we're proud, but someone from the States is usually an American first, and then they're from Idaho.
Yeah.
People in Canada, I would argue, tend to say, where are you from? Oh, Saskatchewan. Before they'd say, I'm from Canada. I don't know. Maybe it's different on the international stage.
I do believe it depends, yes. Hey, don't we have to give away another shirt?
Yeah, we do.
Let's do that.
Hang on.
There goes the hat. I can hear it rattling and rolling, getting those little bones going.
Who's I want to tell you something. I debated moving from my office because my heat pump keeps kicking in outside the window, but I opted to embrace it because we're in the middle of a cold snap in Canada, and the 800 dB hum of my heat pump is kind of Canadian.
It is, and also
kind of Canadianity.
Also, you can get, if it doesn't go off, then it would be what's cracking. Jonathan's pipes.
That is the name.
Jonathan's
right.
Pipes be cracking.
Bud, you're going to love this. Okay. Guess who won the second t-shirt?
Who?
Moose Bertelson.
That is Canadian as it gets right
the
there.
The name is Moose.
Moose.
Moose Bertelson and Jeff Brown. We will follow you and DM you a message to find out your address and your sizes. Congratulations on being the proud owners of the first two TNT t-shirts. TNT tees.
Beautiful.
We're going to give away TNT tees for the bot of the week each of the next 5 weeks. Let's take a break on TNT. When we come back, let's get to this week's bods of the week. Jeremy, will you do me a favor and come back?
Oh, only?
We'll be right back.
Where's my beer chair?
We're back, Jonathan. How you doing?
Holy anniversary. Oh, man, really?
How about that? We just stomped all over each other there.
Bud, that's okay. Jeez. You know, if we were perfect, we'd have no room for improvement. We have lots of room for improvement.
That's right.
Jeremy,
that's
right. In typical Canadian fashion, why don't you welcome the people back to our 25th episode spectacular?
Welcome back, everybody. We're here, and we're about to break into the second segment of Taggart and Torrens this week, the Bod of the Week.
It's the Bod of the Week. Now, what we've decided is every week we're each going to recognize someone for being a bot. Might be somebody who's doing great charity work, might be someone who just did us a solid, might be someone who is going unrecognized, working below the radar, needs the light shone on them. So I'll go first. played some shinny on the weekend in my neighborhood.
Nice.
There's a guy in my neighborhood named Bruce who spends, I'm going to say, 3 hours a day between the flooding and the shoveling and the scraping and what have you. And he could be the bot of the week, it's true, because he does it for the love of the game, but he also does it because he loves it.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I'm opting to give the bot of the week to another participant in last weekend's shinny game.
No way.
He owns a brewery. It's like a microbrewery called Tatamagush Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Matt. And Matt came with enough product for all the guys.
Wow.
Matt from tatabrew.com or at tatabrew. You are my bot of the week. Thanks for being a bot, bot.
That's great.
You know, it kind of falls on you if you own a brewery to do that. But you can see some guys would be like, yeah, but you know, it's my business, man. You're a doctor. I don't ask you for free neck rubs. Know what yeah. I mean? But he yeah. was very gracious, brought a bunch for folks to try. They have some unique flavors. And I also just admire the moxie of folks starting a business because it's not easy. It takes a lot. And that's why Tatabrew, Matt, you're my bot of the week.
That is a solid bot of the week because he fulfilled the thirst of some fellow bots.
Unless, I mean, if Bruce is listening, Bruce, who made the rink, he has a reasonable argument, which is, yeah, well, we would have had nowhere to gather if it wasn't for me. But knowing that Bruce loves doing it and would do it anyway, you know, that's why I went with Matt.
Solid.
Who's your bot of the week, bot?
Well, we kind of touched on it a little earlier, my bot of the week. But my bot of the week is the guy who rolls through every week, and no matter where he is, gets this show done on time.
Good one.
In good time.
Good one.
I am going with my man, Tim Oxford.
That's a great call.
Who just drives this thing home, and he's either on a plane tired or in the middle of the night on his laptop or in the back of the van with the Arkells guys just working on an episode. Like, he just gets it finished, and though he's like the busiest guy in the country.
Now, you put me in a weird position, and here's why.
Why?
Tim is a worthy candidate, there's no question, and maybe there isn't a more worthy one. But we said the Buds of the Week weren't going to get t-shirts. Tim's already getting a t-shirt, so now I look like I'm not being a bot because I'm not giving Matt a t-shirt. So I think we should maybe give Matt a t-shirt now, too.
I thought we weren't going to do shirts this week anyway, but like if you want it, I think you should give him a shirt anyway because it is the bot of the week, and we started it today, so okay. I guess you got to give him a shirt.
Okay, so we're down to 4 shirts.
Yeah, that's, yeah,
okay.
Figured.
But maybe if the demand for the t-shirts grows.
Yeah, we might have to get another does.
We might have to get another does. And Carrie, who works at Fundy Printing, where I got the t-shirts made.
She's got her dialed for the next one,
oh,
possibly?
She's got her dialed. And what you do is you pay the setup fee, bud. So once you're set up, the next run, you don't have to pay the setup fee. And
beauty.
Carrie's now a follower of us on Twitter. So
this is great.
If we make a big run, then the price per t-shirt goes down. Or maybe if I keep saying Fundy Printing, I don't know, maybe that's worth something.
Maybe that you never know. Fundy Printing might help us.
You never know.
On the next bod of the week run.
There you go. Tim Good Oxford, stuff. There isn't a worthier candidate. It also is just awesome that dudes who are that nice and cool have success come their way. Because the Arkells are on fire, not just here in Canada, but all over the world. And deservedly so. They're good players, but especially because they're nice folks.
Bot of the week, Tim Oxford.
Bot of the week, Matt
yes.
from Tatamagush Brewing Company. Thanks,
those are
bots.
Two solid bods.
Hey,
thanks,
so
bods.
You wanted to pick a little It's Freezing Cold Snap playlist.
Yes, I did. I did. And I don't know about you, but it's been between minus 22 to minus 17. It's just bone chilling outside. That's without the wind chill.
I don't know about you, but it's minus 22.
Yeah. I can't imagine there. That's probably balmy weather for
yourself.
Well,
this is the myth, Jeremy Taggart.
Oh, because it's so humid.
The sun heats the ocean, and the ocean gets warm, And then in the fall and early winter, the wind blows the warm ocean air onto the Maritimes. It's actually warmer here than it is in Upper Canada.
Is there snow on the ground at least?
Yeah, a couple inches, but it has been it has been bitter cold even for here.
It's gonna get colder, Bod.
Is it?
It is gonna get colder.
How's?
Remember this little jam?
What is it?
Good old Bruce Coburn, Bod.
Coldest night of the year.
Isn't it? Because it pretty much is right now. I believe this was recorded in Toronto at Manta Sound, perhaps? Classic Canadian studio.
Great.
Not around anymore. Rest in peace, Manta.
Manny can sing and play guitar. Did you ever ask Eddie Van Halen if that was true, what he said?
Oh, that's true. That's 100%. He said he was the best guitar player on the planet.
If you haven't heard the story, folks, someone asked Eddie Van Halen what it's like to be the best guitar player on the planet. He said, I don't know, ask Bruce Coburn, which is pretty awesome. That's quite a shout out.
Oh, yeah. When Eddie Van Halen says you got it, then you got it.
And nobody knows their way around a whammy bar like Bruce Coburn. I've kind of been going through a little Coburn thing lately, revisiting some of his things. And I remember suggesting to you at one point, Bruce Coburn's cover of Gordon Lightfoot's Ribbon of Darkness. Man, that's a solid tune.
That sounds like a solid word. That is a solid tune. I'm just setting up my next Canadian cold winter classic, I guess we could call it.
Maybe we should start doing a regular thing, like Taggart's Top 5 or something, and I'll give you a theme every week, and you have to come up with the playlist for that.
That would be fantastic, like, and I'd be more than happy to do that.
Or spring, or summer, or barbecue, or to have playing at the pool.
It's good.
Okay, so this is the Taggart's Top.
It's almost as good as this song, eh, Bud? Ah. 4/5 Canadianity.
It's good.
This would be the band.
Kind of makes winter not that bad.
Yes.
Nice. We stood on the cliffs.
Doesn't get any better than these boys.
Do you know, speaking of Canadianity, I was up north on that trip I told you about in Yellowknife.
Yeah.
With Barney Bentall and Russell DeCarl from Prairie Oyster. Connie Calder, mm-hmm. who's a great singer-songwriter. And the big finale at this concert for Literacy was to sing The Wait. I got to do the Crazy Chester verse.
Ooh.
And it was like fantasy camp for me, getting to sing with like actual singers and heavy players and sing a verse in that tune. It was really exciting.
You just got your Rick Danko on, right?
Yeah,
there.
I did.
That's beautiful.
And I don't get nervous much, but I was a little bit nervous.
Well, how do you not? You're about to sing The Wait with some bods.
Some heavies.
You're going to try and get your way through it, man. And that's one of the best verses.
It is a good verse. But here's what happened. There were two concerts back-to-back nights. So the first night I did the Crazy Chester verse. And the second night, I was supposed to do the Crazy Chester verse with my friend Lauren McGinnis, who's a CBC host up in Yellowknife. Mm-hmm. And Russell sang the Crazy Chester verse first. So I was tracking along on lyrics.com, trying to figure out which verse was still left.
He blew it.
Kind of a Hail Mary. And we were faced with a dilemma. Do we do Crazy Chester over again? Or do we try to find the verse that hasn't been done? And that's what we did.
Oh, so you just flew her around.
Yeah.
You did a little edit.
Yeah. We did.
The song didn't make as much sense, but it was still dialed.
It was still dialed, yeah.
Because when Crazy Chester shows up right away, you're like, what?
Well, yeah, it kind of was a curveball that nobody saw coming. Yeah, Crazy Chester was like there from the start, like pulled into, hey, Crazy Chester's here.
They think it's about Twitter because they followed him.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
What else is on the It's Cold Out, Bod, playlist?
That's it.
Is it?
I just had two, Bod.
I would tell you.
I didn't know I had to make more than two.
I would tell you what I would put on that playlist.
I could throw one on for you if you have any requests.
Baby, It's Cold Outside, but wait.
No.
Wait. Megan Smith and Buck 65 did a version of it. And when they started to record it, it sounded really sketchy because Buck has that, like, you don't go. And it sounded really crazy. So what they did was flip roles. So she's the one going, hey, don't go. And he's like, no, but I should really get going. She's like, no, hey, come on, stick around. It's snowy out there. No, I should really get a cab. Which completely took the weird perviosity out of it. So it's not a song I love, but that version of it and those two artists I'm fond of.
I know you love it, but of course I can't find it on the internet right now.
You don't have to find it on the internet, bud.
But that is a good one. That would definitely make the playlist for sure.
Do you, when you're, when there's a cold snap, for example, do you embrace winter and get out there? My wife always says if you're dressed for it, it's not a big deal. Or do you turtle and stay inside?
Well, I mean, with kids, you kind of have to get out there. You can't just ignore it because the kids need energy taken away. And I, as much as I'd love to sit in the house and hibernate, we get out there. We do a little tobogganing. We do a little snowmaking.
Fun.
I've yet to go on the rink yet, but there's a rink out back on the lake that I need to get onto because. But it's been so windy that it's just terrible. It's so cold when the wind is, you know, doubling the temperature into the minus 35s. It's just hard to have fun. You just feel like you're lost in the barrens and you should be wearing those snow blinders and just forget about it.
Do you know what I feel bad about? My friend James Boyd coaches the he used to coach the Belleville Bulls. Now he coaches the Mississauga, whatever they're called. Used to be St. Mike's, and they went out to Mississauga. I don't know, Spray or whatever they're called.
They had
a Russian kid in for one day, and they fit him for skates, and then he left, and his feet were the same size as mine. So I ended up with these skates. So these skates are heavy, heavy-duty Bowers.
The beautiful, fresh skates.
Yeah, but now I look like a guy who should have wheels, and I don't. So I look like the guy, the douche, who went out and like, yeah, I'm going to buy some heavy-duty skates because I'm awesome, even though I'm not. I'd almost rather have micron-molded plastic pieces of garbage.
You got to accept the good wheels and just roll, bud.
But I find myself apologizing, as I do with anything I own that's nice. Like
you go and buy somebody? You're like, sorry, bud!
Yeah. No, that's really, these are a gift. Someone's blowing past me and I'm apologizing. Yeah, the skates were a gift because I found them in a dumpster, but.
You see them looking at you as you go by. You're just like, yeah, sorry. They're just new. They're not, I didn't pay for them though.
But that's a Canadian trait big time to downplay that stuff. Like people will come over and say, oh, I like your floors. And I'll say, yeah, I got it 80% off at Built Direct out of Newark.
Yes.
Because I don't want to seem like that guy who's like, yeah, you do.
I did the same thing. Someone's like, "Hey, I like your floors." Yeah, $3 a square foot. I got them on an auction. Yeah. You got to go to this place.
Yeah, I got it out of a home. There had been a murder in, and no one wanted it.
Exactly.
Got a downplay bot.
The don't tell nobody sweet. Oh, you got a guitar?
There's a voice. Keeps on calling me. Down the road. Where I'll always be. Every stop I make, I make a new friend. Don't turn your back and don't run away, cause I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on.
Beautiful. Thanks. Hey, you know what? My, you would have been on that show if that was on now.
Well, Jason Priestley was on that show.
I had friends at school when I was a kid that was on that show.
Of course. It was like every kid actor that was around was on that show. In the same way that like Ryan Gosling was on Breaker High. It was kind of I knew them when.
or Goosebumps.
Yeah, Goosebumps, or how Alanis was on. You can't do that on television.
Yes. I know everybody was on something when they were a kid.
Well, you were on something when you were in the Yukon. Where were you? You were on mushrooms.
I was in the Hey Jude video. If you look at the end of that, I'm beside Ringo.
Were you?
There's a, if you look at the Hey Jude video from 1968, I believe I'm there in the picture, or in the video, beside him. There's a guy who looks exactly like I did.
Do you remember the most banged up you ever were in your entire life?
Yes.
Where was it? With whom? And
I almost died. It was on my birthday when I was turning 28. So it was like I was almost slipping into the 27 club, man.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Now, what people don't know is that you didn't even drink at all till your late 20s.
Yeah, I was allergic to alcohol because of migraine headaches every couple of weeks as a kid. I stayed away from everything. And then from chocolate to caffeine to certain citrus fruits and perfumes and processed meats and alcohol and all of these things that were on the kind of list of possibilities that would cause a migraine. I just took them all away and got less migraines, but still occasionally did. And I don't have them as much anymore.
But see, not to sidetrack, but my mom would tell you, even unprovoked, that chocolate, coffee, or an orgasm are the three things that can fend off a headache.
Yeah.
So I wonder what qualities they have that make you not take them so you don't get headaches at the same time.
Well, the cause of a migraine is tension in your neck, like blood isn't flowing properly. That's why it's so painful, is because you're just kind of, there's like a strangulation happening on those nerves and you're not getting the feeling that you should. So it's just a pressure that's unbelievable and it doesn't stop until it lessens. So it's a terrifying pain and it's like a circular pain that it's not the same all the time. So you can't even get used to it. You know what I mean? It's just constantly affecting you. So you do whatever you can to not have that problem. So as a kid, that was one of the things that I did.
So then why did you start drinking?
Well, I was like, I grew out of the migraines as a regular occurrence.
Did.
Yeah. So I just basically kind of took it easy, thought about, you know, having a chocolate bar, had a chocolate bar, didn't have a headache, you know, all of those kind of things that brought them in. And drinking, I basically went through my college phase, you know, for 6 years.
In your late 20s. So what happened on your birthday at 27?
Yeah, that one night was I think it was the Junos or something like that, and I was just so hammered that I was just in my bunk and our drum tech had to grab me and pick me up because he heard me doing the blah blah like choking thing, which is always fun.
Jeez.
I was about to go out like Jimi Hendrix and John Bonham.
No recollection.
Oh, hell no. So it wasn't like fun or anything. I didn't have a big blast. I just almost croaked.
Like, so you're backstage with like Jan Arden pounding drinks?
Yeah. Like, some stuff happened that I'd love to tell you off the record. To be honest, I can't because, like, that's just – so I don't want to blow them up and make it it's funny stuff. But, like, you totally, you know, asked me on the wrong second of it. I can't even change it around.
Is it something you could tell without mentioning the names or not even?
Maybe I could. Yeah, I think if I take the person away from what even they did, say I went to a person that people would know.
Just pause for one second and give everyone in Canada a chance to think. I wonder who it was.
It is a cliffhanger.
I just wanted the people in Canada to have a minute to stop and consider who the person might be. I didn't mean to stop the whole proceeding.
Talk about tantalizing. So everybody's waiting.
Okay, so you can't say who, but you can tell what happened.
Yeah, I can't say who, but I can say what happened. And yeah. I hope that this person doesn't remember it, because then I will take the whole thing up a notch for me and our relationship. But anyway, there's a person who has, like, fake hair, I think. And it seems most people
think. It's good already.
Most people think this person
has fake hair. Can you say if it's a man or woman?
Huh?
Can you say if it's a man or woman?
Yeah, you can say it's a man, of course.
Okay.
So yeah. I wouldn't do
Michael
that.
Michael Bublé.
Yeah, right. Perfect. So, I was really hammered, and I went to this person and gave them a hug, and I was like, how's it going? And they're like giving me a hug back, like it was all good. And then I slowly started to reach up to their hair. And the person was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you know what I'm doing. And he's like, don't do that. And I was like, I want to know. And I was like trying to pull his hair off.
Oh my god!
But he wouldn't, like, he kept his hand. It was like became like a wrestling match for him to keep his hand away, my hand away from his head.
Like backstage?
This was like, yeah, man.
Like there were folks around? Oh yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Watching this dance. Wow.
Yeah, man. So I was like, just like, no.
You
like,
went for it.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous. And I was out. I was just I don't know what the hell I was thinking. It was so stupid, but yeah.
And then to shine a light on it, what are you doing? Instead of like, nothing, man, what do you mean? You went for it. You know what I'm doing. You tried to smoke them out.
I was like, one of the, like those moments in the movies, you know, when you see that shit, it's like, it's like vaudeville classic. So ridiculous. So yeah.
Did his hands go to your hand?
Yes, to the point of like he had to fight my arm away from his head.
But I guess my question is, was one of his free hands trying to hold the piece down?
No.
While the other hand was pulling your hand away?
Two of his free hands were keeping my one hand away from his head.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yes.
You know what I'm doing. Oh no.
So stupid.
Have you seen this individual since?
Sure, yeah. It's all good, man. Let's just move on, TJT.
Crazy.
Yes.
I had one of those at the Gemini Awards. Very high profile writer and performer, by all accounts, super nice guy. I'll be honest, I'm nervous at those things, and mostly more than nervous, I'm just uncomfortable. Because it's one of those environments, probably like the Junos, where people are looking over your shoulder to see who else is around or who's better to talk to or whatever.
Yeah.
And just like you, I like kind of authentic experiences. So I don't want to talk about my work, and everybody there wants to talk about work, and yeah. I find them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I was standing next to this dude, and this dude was standing next to his wife, and I congratulated him on the baby they were going to have, and they weren't.
Oh, no.
She's not. And he said, pardon?
Oh.
And I said, well, congratulations on the exciting news, the big arrival, thing.
Oh, man.
And he just said, she's not pregnant. And it was so reasonable. He said, and his tone was so reasonable too. If anyone ever said that about my wife, I'd be so baffled.
Yeah.
And I just skulked away. It was terrible.
Ooh.
But it's kind of the thing that's hard. You can't circle the wagons back and say, hey, remember that time? That was dumb.
My favorite is like when Smith has the craziest stories about people being like celebrities going crazy. And one time he told me about a guy who was at like some awards show, and it was a known actor, and he was like they were in the bathroom, and I guess a famous like woman from media put her purse down and went into the woman's washroom, and this famous dude just grabbed her purse when she went in and started rifling through it. All like, oh man, what do you got in here? Like totally criminal behavior. And then all of a sudden, like, shut himself down. Like, what am I doing? What the hell's going on? I don't need to do this. And then, like, walked out. And Smith just happened to, like, see this happen.
Spectacular.
Isn't that nuts?
I love, like, that story. And it was someone who had turned a page and, yes,
you know, the one, realize, the like, story.
Yeah,
right?
I don't have to do this anymore. What am I doing?
I don't have to do this anymore.
There was a guy... I mean, the people that you know is one thing, but I've often referred to those nights as it's a real who's that. It's the who's that of Canadian television.
Yeah. Because
there are dudes standing around in three-quarter leather jackets from Danier trying to, like, you know, make the scene.
Yeah.
And there was a dude at one of the parties who was like, guys, you know who I am. Come on, you know what show I'm on.
Wow.
The show was called Blue Murder.
Oh, yeah.
Like a CTV kind of murder thing from 10 years ago or so. And he's like, guys, you know who I am. You know, Blue Murder doesn't mean anything to you. It's almost like the, you don't remember me, do you?
Yeah.
There's no response that makes that exchange okay.
No, you're instantly
You don't remember me, do you, is the worst.
You're in a 2-foot hole already, and you can only go down. At that point,
yeah.
I've only seen that go from bad to worse. Like you gotta let it go if you're gonna be that cheesy to somebody. At like, no, they don't know. You don't have to push it, but when you push it,
what's the best case scenario? Yeah, I remember you, Dennis. Yeah, see,
yeah,
that's the best it could go, and it's still uncomfortable. You don't remember me, do you? Is the worst.
Oh man. I bet you Dustin Diamond says that every day.
Dustin Diamond is going to jail, bud.
I know. I heard he sniped somebody.
A dude on Jesus' birthday.
Oh,
even in America, that's still illegal.
Yeah, they don't like it down there when you stab people on the old...
No. Why is stabbing your go-to? Like, probably, learn Krav Maga and take a guy down.
The guy's like, dude, you're just not funny, man.
Yeah. Remember the clip we played of his interview?
Yeah, yeah. It's just
where he was like, yeah, what do you mean? What am I up to?
Up to 50 weeks a year. I'm on the road.
I'm on the stand-up circuit, bud.
Yeah.
I played the Giggle Factory in Des Moines. Shut your mouth.
I'm doing my time. I'm showing up. And then we looked at his dates, and there was like 3 and 7 months.
Yeah, and two of them were 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It's a grind, though, man. What, like, the thing about Canada is...
Well, you know, I think the bottom line is...
You can have a career here.
It's tough to be a comedian when you're not funny, Dustin. That's the problem.
Yeah. More like dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind.
If you're in the state... I mean, if you're in the States and you're catapulted into that level of fame, the thing that served me in Canada, and not that I'm holding my career up as the mold that folks should strive for... But the reason I've been able to work for as long as I have is a couple of reasons. One, I'm nice to people and people like working with people they like. And two, I've always tried to really change it up whenever possible.
Yeah.
So at the end of Jonavision, Trailer Park started. At what I thought was the end of Trailer Park, Mr. D came along.
Yep.
And the more ways you allow people to perceive you, and maybe it's the same in music, you have to change with the times.
And I think people don't realize...
The more longevity you can have.
People don't realize is, you know, those things that you're doing, you're doing like 15 or 20 other things that you're trying to do that don't happen. You know,
it's the grind, right?
You're just seeing like the 2% of what you're working on. And that's a similar thing with me, is where there's all these different little things going on that are great and it's awesome and you're trying to manage them all, but it's they're so wide, it gets to the point where, you know, people will see one thing and say, hey, where are you, what are you doing? There's all this underground stuff that's happening.
What have you been up to, man?
Yeah, I know.
For every dozen things you throw at the wall, maybe one sticks.
Yes.
And I like, you know, people say sometimes, especially some of the younger dudes, like, man, you should just be J-Rock all the time. Forget the other garbage that you do. Well, what am I supposed to do the other 9 months a year?
Yeah.
What are my kids supposed to eat? You have to be on the hustle and you have to be versatile. But if you're Dustin Diamond and you had your shot, then what do you do? I mean, the Olsen twins.
You gotta just keep that's a thing.
They were congooglionaires.
You don't become, if you're billionaires, it's a different thing. You become entitled and annoying. That's what happens there. But people, like you said, is you just have to keep doing as many things as possible. Just like I'm doing the mornings with Hoagie on TSN next week.
Nice.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That'll be fun. 9 to 12, the Macko and Cause slot. Won't be awesome. Quite as exciting as when I was with you because just it's TNT. But Hogan is a great guy, and he's very fun to be with. So that'll be fun. Yeah. Hustle.
It's important to flex as many muscles as you can. And that's why, unless I have a moral opposition to what's being asked of me, I always do it.
Yeah. If you're enjoying it and it's you're learning something from it, that's what you have to do, and as much of it as possible. If it's not writing and practicing and working on music and all of the things that you kind of have to do to maintain yourself, to keep sane, that's what you do.
Word. Let's take a break on TNT. Hang on.
Come back, will ya?
Welcome back to Taggart and Torrens. My name is Jonathan Torrens, along with Jeremy Taggart.
Hi.
It's our 25th episode. A sincere thanks to you and yours for listening these first 25 episodes. Here's to 25 more, bud. Here's hoping.
Let's hope we can get right to 125 more. Let's go for
your mouth to 5,000 episodes. Taggart.
We're still seeing some wonderful feedback on iTunes, by the way.
It's We've been so great.
Bumping back into the top 5 in comedy, which is wonderful, and there's a consistent, wonderful people like it, and they talk about downloading them and listening to them, and they're getting through the day and the drive, and it's wonderful to hear that kind of feedback. I love Canadianity, and I love the people that love it.
Me too. And if you're thinking of letting us know where you listen to the show, please do, because I really get a kick out of hearing, like, I'm driving to my in-laws for the weekend, or I have to go up and open up the cottage and I listen to 4 episodes back to back. I'm going on a road trip. Someone was driving from Halifax to Boston last weekend and just mainlined episodes the whole way. We really dig that stuff. So thanks for letting us know.
There was a beauty pepper in the rink with water to get it dialed in. There was a nice rink getting done. They were listening to an episode.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
That was really happening.
If for whatever reason you've just joined us, Moose Bertelson and Jeff Brown, proud winners of TNT t-shirts for defining Canadianity. In typical Canadian fashion, we pulled their names out of a toque. If you're just joining us for whatever reason, Tim Oxford and Matt from Tatamagush Brewing Company are the buds of the week. Hope you're all listening. Some big earth-shattering news in Canada. Target.
Yeah.
You know, you should buy the Targets and just change a couple letters and make them Taggart's department store.
But I think you're about to say Taggart pulled out of Canada, which is probably the way I would do Canada.
Target pulled out of Canada. So we asked people on the internet service, finish this sentence, Target pulled out of Canada like, and someone said, like, Ronnie just burst in the room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's like he just burst in. That's great.
Bruce Dinsmore said, like, Harper pulled out of Kyoto.
Whoa.
Ryan Perrin said, like, Justin Bieber's father should have.
Oh.
Austin Miller said, like, the Leafs out of playoff contention.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going. Like, yeah. Sean White in the Olympics. Like a dump snake from Ricky's Bird. Like Will Smith should have before Jaden was conceived. Some
holy
really
boats.
Specific ones.
Jeez.
And then this one, like Byway pulled out of the dictionary. What does that mean? That's from Mark Johnson. Does he mean the department store Byway?
I think so. Were they like that popular that they were actually in the dictionary at one point?
I don't know.
And then taken out because they were gone?
What do you mean, Mark Johnson? I remember Byway. Did you guys have Byway in Upper Canada?
Oh, yeah. We would go to the Byway. I wore pants from Byway. There was Bargain Heralds. Do you remember that?
Of course. Do you remember Club Z points from Zellers?
No.
For 100,000 Club Zed points, you could get a Shaker Knit sweater.
You remember firing through the old Consumers Distributors catalogs?
Yes.
While waiting for a coiler to seep itself?
Well, I don't. That's not my memory. But I remember.
Sometimes that's all you got, bud, for reading material.
I remember you could look through the Consumers Distributing catalog to try to pick some things that you hoped Santa Claus would bring.
That's a good one.
There were no Consumers Distributing stores, were there? It was just a catalog operation.
That's why I remember.
But then, were there outlets where you could go pick up your stuff? Because I seem to remember going in a place to get a catalog.
I seem to remember that logo on a sign on a place.
Curious. I went to, in grade 7, I was dating Rebecca Redmond, who was in grade 9 at Fairview Junior High in Halifax.
Weren't you dialed up there?
And it was our 1 month anniversary, so I went to Byway where they sold chain by the foot, like neck chain.
Yeah.
So I bought her 2 feet of neck chain. I think it was about $14, and they cut it off, and they even put the clasp on it for you and everything.
Nice.
And she was kind of a fancy gal, so I gave her, she was an English student, and I was in French immersion. So we came from different worlds. We were star-crossed lovers. And I gave her this 2 feet of chain, and she was very moved and very touched, and then it turned her neck green, and she dumped me, because it wasn't real gold. It wasn't.
I remember relationships when you're really young are just, that means you just feel so awkward that you don't talk. I remember, because I was always the new kid in school, I do believe I went to 7 different schools from kindergarten to grade 8, so I was all over the place, so always the new kid. But I remember once when, like, grade 5 or 6, like, okay, this girl wants to date you from this other person, and then you're like, okay, and for the next, like, 3 weeks, you don't even go near them because you might have to, like, engage in some kind of personal contact. For me, that was just unbelievable to think about and too much to deal with. And all of a sudden, one day, you get a note from the friend, and it's like, you're dumped. And that's pretty much relationships.
What's with the friend?
I don't know.
There was always, like, a negotiator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, things don't really change when it comes to the kids. Well, with kids, like, you're just so, you can't even think about holding hands at that age, let alone kissing a girl, or the idea of it. So you're just like, I mean, unless you're Anthony Kiedis or something, or your dad was a Chippendale dancer and they showed you how to get things going.
Those are the two exceptions. Anthony Kiedis. Oh, my God.
Getting you a hooker for your 14th birthday.
Right.
That I mean, mostly it's
Dad,
just
Dad, who's this? It's Brandy Snifters, bud. Happy birthday.
Maggie, yeah, I'm at her.
We got a 2 for, bud. It's a 2 for Tuesday, son. Except nowadays, they don't have the middle person, right? It's just you text someone, want a pound, LOL.
Well, is it like that when you're 9 still?
Probably not.
I would
like
to think it's not quite that at that level yet. Is there Tinder in grade
4? How old's your oldest boy?
He's 8.
Is he wheeling birds?
He's definitely not. He doesn't have a phone, and so he's not texting anybody.
Right.
But he does have, like, if you're on like a, even when you play that Minecraft, like, there's open communication with people, so you have to kind of be mindful of that stuff.
But is it, like, between him and somebody in Kuala Lumpur?
No, anybody. Like, you just see this feed of communication, you know, when you're playing with all these people, and they talk back, and usually it's kids just talking trash and swearing their heads off.
Oh, man, you know? We're in big trouble.
Yeah.
We're in big trouble as a society, because the rite of passage for a young person to shuffle their feet and look the other person in the eye and say, do you want to go to a movie or get a soda? Okay, I didn't grow up in the 50s, but do you want to go out with me? That doesn't exist anymore. Now you can just LOL your way out of anything.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to a movie? No. I was just joking, LOL.
Yeah, exactly.
And not to mention the impact that I've probably talked about it before on the show, but the impact that the internet is going to have on monogamous relationships. If you've seen an all-you-can-eat buffet, for lack of a better term, by the time you're 12 on the internet,
Yeah.
What part of you is going to want to have a monogamous, loving relationship? That really concerns me.
When you're just used to seeing that at an early age, it's just, yeah, it's a tough competition to think about when you're, when you and I remember I saw like I saw porn at like a friend of mine's dad had it stashed in his barn. So like in an old barn through straw, we saw these, you know, old Playboy magazines and like shared a beer.
They're mildewy. Like,
that was my like childhood, you know, oh my God moment was looking at these old greasy porno mags in the guy's barn out back.
Crazy.
That was it for me. But
or I mean, how now, folks would that, wait for, speaking of the consumer's distributing catalog, like the Eden's catalog. And yeah, you know, when you're seven and looking at the swimsuit section, like, well, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I never got the Eaton's catalog. It was more the Sears. There was a couple pages of bras in there we were good for.
I would say the earliest material that kind of turned my head around was on Video Hits.
Video like, Hits, that was a...
Watching
was
a Madonna like, yeah, video, for example, or Cherry yeah Pie by Warrant. It was like, oh, women don't behave like that, do they?
Yeah, there was all kinds of, see, I didn't have that even. I had CKVR. There was nothing on there when I was a kid. There was like bad, like Leave It to Beaver and news. CBC never played that kind of stuff.
Did Ronnie give you the talk?
I had no talk.
Yeah.
Nothing. I got caught having a yank and he made fun of me. And it was like totally the most horrifying moment of my life. And it was like still no talk. Good times.
So
14 years old thinking about wanting to turn back time.
Wow.
You don't want to get caught by Ronnie, dog.
No, you don't. So
you do not.
It was a very brief conversation, I take it.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
People have like done crazy stuff over that moment. Like, oh my God, my dad's caught me. It was quite effective to the moment of my 14-year-old existence.
I would say.
Yeah.
It was probably like Punxsutawney Phil. It's probably like six more weeks of winter. You never saw the thing again.
I'm assuming it's kind of like a Glaswegian thing to like laugh it off and make fun of it.
Right.
You know, sexual desire, like it's a joke, like get over yourself.
That doesn't
don't
exist.
Do that. Yeah, or whatever. I don't know. I'm like, just crazy stuff, man. Harsh. Really harsh.
Crazy.
No filter. Life.
So it's like didn't ever broach it again.
No, man. Still to this day. Nothing. Good stuff.
That's good
conversations
stuff.
Otherwise, other things, but just no. There was just like a... I think it could be my dad grew up like the classic, you know, Catholic schoolboy, had, you know, very strict situational religion.
Nuns.
Entrenched in him.
Taught by
even
nuns.
Had a
sure.
Even had a priest come on to him once in New York when he was a kid. So he just has this like real kind of like shun to talking about that stuff.
But that's the way. That's the Victorian upbringing kind of way.
Yeah.
And we, honestly, we probably talk about stuff too much. I don't mean you and I, but I mean folks nowadays.
Sure.
We're too squishy.
Totally.
We talk about our feelings too much.
Hey, man, when, like, tobogganing gets, like, is illegal now in some places?
No.
You're getting fined for tobogganing now because some school parents, you know, freaked out or someone got hurt and now you can't and you're getting tickets for it. It's like, you know, the idea of stuff being far too situated and controlled.
But my feeling on that stuff is, you know, like a lot of parents, I live in the country, as you know, I have two little kids, one's five and one's three. If it's minus 30, I'm probably going to leave the three-year-old in the car with it running with the heat on while I run the 10 feet to take my kid to the door of her school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents are like, oh, you can't do that, man. But really, isn't it more dangerous to take her out and expose her to minus 30? We're so uptight.
No, I know. There's certain things that people just freak out about just because of the concept.
Right. And they go, she's 3 years is it old. That? She should be having a drink of alcohol.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding about that. Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
Happy 25th episode.
Happy 25th episode, Jonathan.
Let's take a little break and then we'll be back to wrap it up.
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom!
Hey, Jonathan.
Jeremy, a few years ago, they were resurrecting a show at CBC, and I was living in the United States of America, and they asked if I wanted to audition to be the host.
Yeah.
And I said to my manager, honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I move back to Canada, if this is what I'd like to do. It's kind of a straight hosting gig as opposed to a comedic hosting gig, and I just want to be upfront with them from the get-go that I don't know if it came to push and shove, if this is a show I'd want to do. And he said, well, unless, as I was saying earlier, you have a moral opposition to it, you might as well do it. Because who knows when these people will be working on something else that you really do want to do. And if you make a good impression and all that, it never hurts. So I kind of got behind that philosophy. Then before the audition came up, they called back and said, we're looking for hosts and panelists. So while he's here, we'd like for him to audition to be a panelist on this show as well. I said, well, I know for a fact that I don't want to be a panelist. I'm not even sure I'd want to be the host. Not to be sound like I think I'm above the work. I don't. It's just I know you have a limited number of plays in the public eye before it's like, all right, can they get anybody else? So I try to be a bit selective.
Sure.
So I said through email, I said, I'll be perfectly honest, man. I know I don't want to be a panelist. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to be the host if I was to get it. I think we should just tell them that thanks so much for thinking of me, but I don't think this is a good fit. And I have a relationship with these people. I feel weird about stringing them along. Then what if they do happen to offer it to me? I wouldn't want to seem like a jerk. Why did I lead them down this path? Whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them or you can tell them, but I think we should tell them. 10 seconds later, I get an email back, all uppercase. When my pussy hurts, I don't want to be a effing panelist. He hit reply, but he thought he was hitting forward to send it to his assistant.
So he didn't realize he sent it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get the class. It's a mixed message. When my pussy hurts. Like, am I a woman or a baby woman? But it was kind of a weird predicament because it puts you in a weird position where you can't pretend it didn't happen. So you have to acknowledge it, but
yikes,
there must be some terrible, terrible email gaffes in this era in technology.
Was that the beginning of the end of your relationship?
Oh, that was the end. I debated what to do and I waited a day. And my phone was blowing up and I was ignoring it. And then I just finally emailed back and said, just reiterated why I felt that way. And then said, well, I better get going. I have a gynecologist appointment. That was it, bud.
Nice. That was the end of that.
The headline is, the moral of the story is, and you see it in text with iPhones all the time, you can send things pretty easily by accident. So what I always do, this is my piece of advice, unsolicited. If someone peeves you, makes you mad, and you're feeling angry, draft an email in the actual language that you want to use in that moment without their name in the address bar. Sit on it for 24 hours, and if you still want to send it, then send it. But 97% of the time, if you draft it in that language, it actually helps you vent what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And then 24 hours later, you're like, wow, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I remember my mom used to write these long, like 3-page letters on people if they bummed her out. And it was like, read it and like, wow. And then like she would just throw it out.
That's what my mom does too. She will actually throw it in the river or rip it up and burn it. Like, makes it kind of a process and that's ceremonial. How she purges that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
I like that. I'm more of a send it guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
It can get you into trouble.
Stand by the sentiment. Well, you know, yes.
Because you can never unsay those things. And then It alters.
Yeah, but I've never
forever.
Unfelt most of any time I've sent it. I don't think I've ever still to this day felt differently about it. So yeah, I understand what you mean. I don't think I've blown myself up that way.
I usually get over it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you can have 100 great interactions with someone, and the one time you react a little strongly, that's the one they'll remember by. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah, it could happen that's at some point, sure. I mean, I definitely, it's something, sometimes you say something and you definitely don't know the person you think you might. It happens all the time. And let's be honest, we're in social media, you can't really be boring.
No.
So you need to kind of state things that have some kind of an idea that might cause engagement for a reason. And that's just the way it is.
It's true. Will you come back for a 26th episode with me?
I would love that. Only if you come back with me.
Hey, I promise. There's perfect. Here's the Taggart's top five I want you to work on for next time.
Okay.
It's snowbird season when folks are going down to warmer climes, all inclusives. You're sitting around at the swim up bar. What are five tunes you'd want to listen to in Cayo Coco Expensivo?
It's just summertime, wintertime Canadian jams?
Yeah, that's it.
I can do that.
Next time on Taggart and Torrens. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, bot.
Night, bot.
Fucking ready.